At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. An internal audit finds the city of Dallas could do a much better job of tracking agencies that provide services to the homeless. The audit recommends improvements to a database that collects data from shelters. The report says that database is incomplete. Auditors also found a lack of coordination between the largest shelters in the area. In a written response, Dallas officials say they agree with the recommendations and they're focused on making improvements. More than 120 theater artists packed a town hall meeting in Oak Cliff yesterday. They were there to learn about a new method Chicago theaters are using to address sexual harassment. Art and Seek's Jerome Weeks reports. The meeting came after the Dallas Theater Center fired an administrator for inappropriate behavior.
The town hall meeting was arranged before Lee Trull was fired last week by the Theater Center. He was dismissed just as allegations of sexual misconduct against him were becoming public. Laura Fisher was the guest speaker. Fisher's a Chicago actor and activist who helped develop that city's theater code of conduct. Fisher's given presentations in other cities like Washington, D.C., but Monday in Dallas, she says, felt different.
There is a rage and an anguish and a need for the community to respond to what they're experiencing.
For much of the two-hour meeting, Fisher explained why some Chicago theaters decided they needed a voluntary code of conduct. Non-union theater artists are freelancers working for small companies, and they have no legal protections against sexual harassment. So several theaters drafted recommendations online covering everything from auditions to how to deal with physical contact in bedroom scenes. The code also establishes what Fisher calls an accountability path. It doesn't address things like sexual assault. That's a criminal act, Fisher says, so it's a matter for the police. Period. But every show does have a list of people to call if you experience harassment. And if the first person doesn't do anything,
you'd go up to the next level. So if you get a phone call, you need to respond within 24 hours. This is not a game.
The accountability path goes all the way up to board members. 25 Chicago theaters have agreed to use the code. The city has more than 200 theater companies. But Fisher says she's not discouraged. The code is still new, and it's working.
That actors walk into a space and are presented with documentation telling people, we've got your back. If something bad is happening to you, we want to know about it. That in itself is progress.
Fisher was invited to North Texas by Joni Schultz, artistic director of Water Tower Theater. Lee Trull's firing last week triggered angry social media responses. So Schultz introduced Fisher by asking the evening not descend into accusations.
It's not an occasion for finger-pointing, and it's not for shaming and blaming others.
But by the end, some audience members were angrily defending those women who've named the people in power who've harassed them.
I think that people needed to talk more. I think that there's still a lot of hurt, and people need to be able to offer their opinions to get those things out.
Denise Lee is a longtime North Texas singer and actor. She feels Monday was just the start of a necessary process. In fact, Lee will be conducting two public meetings on sexual harassment in January, one in Dallas, one in Fort Worth. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
You can download a copy of the Chicago Theater Standards Code at artandseek.org. Hurricane Harvey and the devastating rainfall that came with it changed hundreds of thousands of people's lives. Some lost loved ones, others watched the floodwaters invade their homes, washing away most of what they owned. Businesses had to close and people lost their jobs. Thousands of families were displaced and some landed in North Texas. 3.5 months after the storm, more than 100 of those families have decided to stay. As part of KERA's series, One Crisis Away After the Flood, Courtney Collins has the story of a woman who's been through this before, 12 years ago after Hurricane Katrina.
With 5 kids, Daphne Griffin says she's always cooking.
Celery, carrots, onions, bell peppers.
And constantly cranking through piles of laundry. Those are two truths she can set her watch by. Certainties she can count on. One thing she never imagined, evacuating Beaumont ahead of Hurricane Harvey and not moving back. Especially since she did the same thing in 2005 after Hurricane Katrina destroyed her home in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
It was very terrifying. Like, imagine just water everywhere and you're trying to pull a disabled person out of a home.
As Katrina whipped across southern Louisiana, a tree crashed through the house, temporarily trapping Griffin and her then-husband inside. He was confined to a wheelchair, which was too wide for the only door they could use to get out.
So I had to actually get a twin-size bed mattress and lay him on it and pull him out the door.
When she was stuck inside the house, she thought she might die.
I was thinking that, but I'd rather risk dying saving him than just dying not doing anything.
They made it to safety, and Griffin says after 4 months in a shelter, moved into an apartment. 6 months later, she decided to leave Louisiana and relocate to Beaumont, where her parents live. Griffin lived her life, starting a family, building a catering business. She met someone new and got remarried. Fast forward 12 years, and Griffin didn't like what she was hearing about a storm named Harvey gaining strength in the Gulf.
Then it said that Houston was going to get just the rain. And then I'm like, well, Houston is just an hour away from us, and rain is the worst part. So let's go. And my dad was like, well, no, we're going to wait. We're going to wait it out. And I'm like, no, we're not. So we all left.
Griffin, her husband, her 5 children, and her parents hurriedly packed up and fled to a Dallas shelter ahead of the storm. They didn't bring much, just some clothes and some baby gear. Griffin figured things would be back to normal, and she'd be back in Beaumont in less than a week. She was wrong.
Went back home to see if we can stay back home. Came home to nothing. Everything was destroyed except for my living room.
So Griffin made the decision to start over, again. She and her husband salvaged what they could from the living room and headed back north.
Shampooed the couches. My TV was okay, I guess, because it's sitting up very high. My entertainment center, we just wiped it down. It was kind of moldy, but we wiped it down with bleach and disinfection sprays.
Hurricane Harvey forced hundreds of thousands from their homes. 3,900 of those people sought help at 5 North Texas shelters, the majority staying overnight for some period of time. And Daphne Griffin's family isn't the only group that decided to restart their lives here.
Well, we know about 120 families, individuals who determined and decided that based on the level of service that they received here, the fact of the matter of going back to the Houston area or the Gulf Coast region was simply not something that was in the cards for them.
Keith Rhodes is CEO of the North Texas Region American Red Cross. A Hurricane Katrina survivor himself, he says he knows what these families are going through and why many of them opted to start over somewhere new.
Just imagine going home today from wherever you may be to know that nothing is in your home anymore. And any of your personal effects, mementos, any items that you recognize or attach to are completely gone.
Which is the case for many storm victims. The Red Cross helped shelter people temporarily, and the organization's community partners helped families secure long-term housing and find new jobs. Even with that kind of support, it's hard to pick up and start over. Daphne Griffin has done it twice, at just 30 years old, and she's hopeful.
I can say that this time has been a little better, because this time we in a community where people want to help, and it's not no one looking down at you or we're stuck and have nowhere to go.
She has a rental house in Arlington. She's enrolled her kids in school and her baby in daycare. She and her husband are both working. She's replaced the furniture she lost and has a fridge full of food. Still, Griffin is in a new town, away from friends and family, and money is more than tight. Most of that replacement furniture is rent to own, which means interest is piling up quickly. Her job pays the bills, but it isn't what she's most passionate about. Cooking soul food and baking one-of-a-kind desserts, culinary creations she was known for back in Beaumont. After the flood, Daphne Griffin is surviving. But thriving? That might take some time. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Meet other Hurricane Harvey evacuees who are starting over after the flood, and check out photos of Daphne Griffin's hurricane-damaged neighborhood in Beaumont at kera.org/onecrisisaway. It's 49 degrees in Dallas, 51 in Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.